I'm joined by Tania Branigan in Cebu City. Tania, the UN's Valerie Amos said logistics were a nightmare. Is that what it looks like to you?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a real amount of frustration here that even though the international and domestic efforts are sort of gearing up, that it's just proved so hard to get aid into these zones. And so, for example, we know in Tacloban, which has been really one of the worst hit and yet relatively accessible places affected by the storm, that something like a third of families have now received aid, according to officials. Well, that's nothing, and we're now 4 or 5 days out from the disaster, and there are a lot of very desperate people out there.
And very frustrating for relief agencies?
Absolutely. So the problems really are so wide-ranging. It's been made worse by bad weather today, which has also held things up. We've had problems, of course, because so much of the infrastructure has been damaged. The airport itself at Tacloban can only really operate during daytime because it doesn't really have lights for sort of evening flights. And so, of course, that really limits the amount of aid that can be brought in. There's the fact that the Philippines, of course, is quite a poor country to start with. And so it only has 3 of the cargo planes anyway, although it now has US and other cargo planes coming in to sort of help supplement that. There's the lack of communication. I mean, the army sort of said it simply can't reach a lot of officials. And of course, a lot of the people that you'd normally expect to coordinate relief efforts have themselves been really badly hit. Local authorities themselves are saying that in many cases, just so many of their officials have died, they've been bereaved, they're struggling to feed their own families, their vehicles aren't working, they have no way of getting access. So it's really everything you can imagine that's making it just so difficult.
There are also reports of a breakdown in law and order. Have you seen much evidence of that?
We certainly know a lot of people says that there's been widespread cases of people breaking into shops and in some cases sort of even walking into sort of damaged homes. Of course, a lot of people are very desperate, and you know, the point many people have made is that people who have really been forced to help themselves because there's just no other aid coming through. And so, yes, people have been going into sort of hospitals, for example, and taking medical supplies because they're just not getting them otherwise. But one of the problems now is that people are saying there's really nothing left in the shops in Tacloban City. There's nothing at the hospitals. And that, so there's just this desperate shortage of goods. And it's really a race against time now to try and turn this around and get meaningful supplies there as quickly as possible. And of course, we're also seeing people trying to get out of the zone now, and the problem is, again, these cargo planes are going in, they are taking in relief, but there's a limit to how many people they can ship out in the other direction. And even when they're trying to prioritize, there are still people who are sick, there are still children who are not getting on board these flights because there's simply too much demand.
What are the prospects for the next few hours? Are more flights going to get into Tacloban?
Well, it looks as if there should be more flights into Tacloban tomorrow. Obviously, things are quite changeable here depending on weather. As I said, there have been communications problems. One of the good things is that we know more help is on its way. The US has obviously sent Marines already, but it's also sending Navy vessels, as is the UK. Again, the Japanese Defence Force is coming. And there has been this sort of flood of support from around the world. But again, of course, people have to get to the areas to be able to help people. And so at the airport in Cebu today, I ran into people from Médecins Sans Frontières who couldn't get in because the flight was cancelled. I ran into a specialist search and rescue team. And of course, time really is running out for search and rescue workers. And again, they simply weren't able to get across. So that is a huge problem, and I think one of the things we really are all watching for is what has happened in some of the most remote areas. We know Tacloban is very bad, but that's because people have been able to get there and hear about it, and the fear is that conditions may be even worse in some of these more remote places that simply haven't been accessed.
You've reported on a number of natural disasters as a China correspondent for The Guardian. How does this compare on the scale of things you've seen before?
Well, it's always very hard to compare these things. It's a high death toll, but somebody said today it's not really about numbers, it's also just about the level of suffering. I think one of the things is that the Chinese have really quite a machine, in a way, for dealing with natural disasters. and it's got a better developed infrastructure to start with, which helps. And so in cases like the Sichuan earthquake, you did start to see relief quite quickly, but also there were very good roads to these areas. The Philippines geographically is not blessed. You know, it's an area that's not great to move around. The infrastructure isn't fantastic anyway. And when it's hit by a disaster like this, it's easy for things to... it's easy for them to sort of struggle so quickly. I think the hope is that in the next few days, as more aid flows in, perhaps that a more organized aid effort will get underway, that some of these roads may get cleared, because that's going to be one of the big issues, as I said, getting aid out to the really remote parts.
Okay, Tania, thanks very much.
Thank you.